you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Matthew 26, beginning in verse 17, this is God's word. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, 'I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me.' They were very sad and began to say to him, one after the other, 'Surely not I, Lord.' Jesus replied, 'The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "Yes, it is you." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the 3rd time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Friend, do what you came for." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him. "For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. You think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled? They say it must happen this way." At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you've come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were there looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. "But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" "He is worthy of death," they answered. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who hit you?" Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus," she said, but he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath. "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
What he endured is beyond what we can comprehend. And the portion that I've read from Matthew's account is just the start of what would take place that night. Jewish laws would be broken by those who were the guardians of the law. The way in which they conducted the trial was illegal, but they had to get it done because they had to get on with their desire, their murderous desire to kill the Lord. They accused him of blasphemy because he told the truth about who he is. There wasn't some evil thing that he'd done that got exposed. They brought a series of false witnesses, and they were bumbling idiots. They couldn't even get their story straight ahead of time, and so even those who were determined to find him guilty had to send away one false witness after another because they couldn't agree. And you can't condemn someone unless you have two witnesses. That's why finally they relied on the words of Jesus. The false witnesses could not get their stories straight, even though they'd been brought in there to tell lies about Jesus. Go back to the meal. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He had told his disciples ahead of time, and yet they didn't get it. They didn't believe it. They didn't accept it. It was just unthinkable. This is the one we've been waiting on. We left our business in order to follow him because we're convinced he's the Messiah. They were so sure that Jesus was the Messiah, they'd given everything else up. And now he's saying he's going to die? He's supposed to bring in the kingdom. He's been talking about the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. But he wasn't talking about what they were talking about. They didn't get it. It's not about geography, it's about relationship. It's about the fact that they were in the presence of the king. So, Judas had already agreed in the verses prior to what we read this morning. Judas had already agreed to betray Jesus. And yet, when Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me, they're all saying, surely not I, Lord. Not me, I'd never do that. And when Jesus says it's the one who dips his bread into the bowl with mine, Judas says, surely not I, Lord. And Jesus says to him, yes, you're the one. Well, Judas wasn't wondering if he was the one. He knew he was the one. He was still playing the part, still trying to look like the loyal disciple. The signal that he gave to the group that was coming to arrest Jesus, he said, it'll be the one I kiss. That's the one. Arrest him. And so he gave a kiss, but it was no love. He betrayed his master with a kiss. Well, obviously, we despise Judas for what he did. But can we relate to the others? Who, when Jesus says, guys, I need you to stay awake. You know, I'd like to. But my eyes are heavy. Have you ever had heavy eyes? Have you ever been really sleepy? I know what it is to want to stay awake and just feel like physically I'm not up to it. Jesus said regarding himself, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus didn't feel like going to the cross. Jesus didn't feel like, this is a good time for me to be crucified. He prayed, Father, if there's any other way, please let this cup pass from me. He had already offered the cup to the disciples saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. But he knows what that'll cost. And so he says, Father, if there's any other way, please let this cup pass from me. But there was no other way. Why? Because all the sacrifices, all the Passover lambs, all the sacrifices in the temple, all the sacrifices in the tabernacle, all the sacrifices going back to the garden pointed to the sacrifice that God would provide, and Jesus is it. The law not only showed us that we are lawbreakers, but it showed us what perfection looks like. And Jesus fulfilled the law. He didn't keep all the rules of man. He didn't do everything that the religious people thought needed to be done. They had set up a bunch of other nitpicky, goofy rules that became the focus of their attention so that they didn't have to feel as badly about God's laws that they were breaking over and over again. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And you are to love your neighbor as yourself. All the law rests on those, Jesus said. He personified the fulfillment of the law. Jesus goes into the synagogue, and there's a man with a withered hand. And everybody's watching, these religious rules keepers are watching to see, is he going to heal that man? I know he likes to do that. And if he heals on the Sabbath, that's work. That's got to be work. So we're going to nail him. Jesus sees what's going on and he knows their thoughts. And so instead of saying to the guy with the withered hand, hey man, how are you doing? Good. Well, you have a good day. And he just healed him and nobody got to see it. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus calls the man up front and he says, so that everybody can see and everybody can hear, hey, which is lawful to do on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To do good. Okay, well, this is good. And he healed the man. I hated him for it because they hated God. These super religious, rules-focused people didn't love God and they didn't love their neighbor. They didn't want to see the guy with the withered hand get healed. They wanted to see people honoring them for keeping the rules better than somebody else. So, the mob sent by the chief priests and the elders comes to where Jesus has been in prayer, and they arrest him. And Jesus asks them, am I leading a rebellion? You've come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching and you didn't arrest me. He's shaming them because what they're doing is utter hypocrisy. It wasn't like Jesus was on the lam wearing some kind of disguise, dyed his hair and had a patch over his eye. No. Everybody knew. He was there in public. He was there at their headquarters. Now they come in the middle of the night to arrest him secretly, and they're going to try him in the middle of the night. And when he appears before the Sanhedrin, you have this pivotal exchange. The high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Yes. It is as you say, Jesus replied. But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Jesus knew that he was going to die, and he knew it would be brutal. And he knew that as he died, he would not only take on the penalty for our sin, but he who knew no sin would be made sin for us. It wasn't just our punishment that he bore, it was our guilt. It was our guilt. How did Jesus feel about sin? He hated sin. God hates sin. Why? Because he's holy. And Jesus, who had never sinned in thought, in word, in deed, became sin for us. And the one who was the Father's delight cries out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? But over and over in this passage, Jesus keeps saying, it has to happen this way. This is exactly what was written. This is the fulfillment of God's word. I mean, there is so much here that I want to talk about. I want to talk about Peter cutting off the ear of Caiaphas' servant. There isn't time. But I want you to understand all these things happened one right after another in one night. This is all in one night. And while Jesus is going through this, Peter is having his own little trial outside. He has followed Jesus. He's as close as he can get. He wasn't invited, but he went. And a girl looks at him and says, you're with Jesus, aren't you? And he says, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's tested again by another person who says, I'm sure I saw you with him. And he swears. He says, no, lying and lying and lying, denying what he knew was true. Why? Self-preservation. So he lies. He's caught off guard. He's scared. He's tired. He didn't get as much sleep in the garden as he was hoping for. And so now it's like, I'm not responsible for what I say and do. But he was. And we are too. Matthew doesn't tell it. But in one of the Gospels, Peter has denied his Lord. And the rooster crows. And he looks, and Jesus is looking at him. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Have you ever blown it? Have you ever messed up? Even after you started following Jesus, you did the wrong thing. Not just once. Peter had said, no way will I forsake you. No way will they be able to get me. If I have to die, I'll die. But when it came time, it's like, no, this is not what I had in mind. I wanted to die with a sword in my hand. I don't want this. Peter utterly blew it. And that's why, from this point on, God had no use for Peter. Right? No. God had already given him that name. Jesus had said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed to you who I am. My Father in heaven. From now on, I'm calling you the Rock. Here he blew it. He did not live up to his new name. He blew it, and then he blew it, and then he blew it. And after Jesus rises from the dead, he reinstates Peter. He meets with him especially. Jesus gave him the chance to affirm three times, but he had denied three times. Jesus still had a plan for the Rock, and he still has a plan for you who are his children.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.